next time with another edition of Right Off the Bat, right here on your home for A's Baseball, 960 KAVM. Personalities of baseball. And now, let's talk baseball with Marty Lurie.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Right Off the Bat tonight as we celebrate this Labor Day here all over the Bay Area. Gorgeous day for baseball, nice night for baseball. Big day around the Bay Area. Giants played at Pac Bell Park today as the Rockies put a stop to the Giants Express, beating the Giants 4-1 at Pac Bell Park. But tonight at the net, the A's are home. The last time we saw the A's at the Coliseum was last Sunday when they rallied from a 5-0 deficit to beat the Detroit Tigers. And what a road trip they had. They went into Baltimore and Tampa Bay taking 5 out of 6. And the Boston Red Sox could not have cooperated in any more of a dramatic fashion as they lost all their games last week to Cleveland and the New York Yankees. And the A's, who left with a 3-game lead in the wild card, come home with an 8-game lead in the wild card. And you know, if you've listened to my show this year, I pointed to this 2-week stretch of games where the A's had the Orioles and Tampa Bay back-to-back. And the Red Sox had Cleveland and the Yankees back-to-back. And I said if the A's could come out of this stretch with about a 5 or 6 game lead, I thought that would be sufficient to get the job done. Well, they've got an 8-game lead right now, 6 more against the Orioles in Tampa Bay, while the Boston Red Sox, in really just complete disarray, have to take on Cleveland and the Yankees this week. So at the end of this week, if the A's do what they should do, when they head into division play, starting with the Texas Rangers next Monday night, things should be pretty good. It's almost time to think about what the postseason may look like, as the A's look like they're in good shape to be the wild card team. And, of course, they would play the team with the next best record to Seattle. And as that stands right now, that would be the New York Yankees. The Yankees were winners today, 7-5 over Toronto. And they came back late in that game to win it. And the Cleveland Indians leading the Central. They lead the White Sox now 5-3 in the sixth inning, as Ellis Burks just went deep with a couple of men on base to give Cleveland that lead. But Cleveland entering play tonight was about 3.5 games behind New York. And certainly New York may be catchable by Cleveland. And if that would happen, then the A's could open up against Cleveland. So who knows? There's still a lot of September baseball left to be played. Cleveland still has to worry about the Minnesota Twins, as they're now actually tied with Boston behind the A's in the wild card race. So the American League is starting to spread out a little bit, and a good time right now for the Athletics. They're playing good ball. They're not hitting the ball tremendously, but they're doing the things that good teams do, and that is they're winning with clutch hitting. As I said over the weekend, their on-base percentage is coming up. Batting average is still fairly down in the American League, but that means they're getting the hits when they count. Jeremy Giambi comes off the bench as Art Howe has worked this bench now. He's finally got a full major league bench to work with, and he's taking full advantage of it as only he can, as he pulled Jeremy Giambi in yesterday, and Giambi with a couple of hits to win the game. Well, the Orioles are in town tonight, and I know a lot of people are here to see Cal Ripken in his last series against the Athletics as his career comes to an end this year. But he's not in the lineup tonight. He had a press conference at 3 o'clock today and talked about his career and different aspects of baseball. And he is not in the lineup tonight. I assume he'll be playing tomorrow night and Wednesday when the A's have the celebration of Cal's career at noon on Wednesday. But if you're coming out to see Cal tonight, looks like he is not in the lineup the last time that I checked. For the A's tonight, Tim Hudson is on the hill. Tim Hudson, of course, really the ace of this staff. He is the veteran pitcher of the three young pitchers of Mulder, Hudson, and Zito. Hudson, 15-7 on the year with a 3.29 earned run average, has struggled a little bit lately. Even though his last start against the Orioles, he won it 4-1. 6 1/3 innings, only 2 hits, but he walked 6 and struck out 4. So Huddy's still working on his game a little bit against the White Sox on August 19th. 4 2/3 innings and 6 runs. And against the Tigers, he lost 8-4. That was on the 24th here at the net. So Huddy on the hill tonight. He's 15-7 on the year, 3.29 earned run average. You know, the A's already, as they right now, have 80 wins. They go for 81 tonight. And chances are in the next 25 games or so, the way they're playing, they could get in the high 90s in wins. And when that happens, all the statistics kind of take care of themselves, meaning that there's a good chance that Hudson will have 19 or 20 wins. Mark Mulder heading towards 20 wins. Barry Zito maybe 15 wins. Corey Lytle in double figures. And the batters getting close to 100 RBIs. And it's an amazing season for the Athletics as they are starting to put numbers up that would certainly reflect a team that wins in the high 90s. So Tim Hudson on the hill tonight, 15-7. He goes against Josh Towers, and I joked last week between the two of them, Hudson and Towers, they both weigh respectively about 165 pounds. If you put them together, you don't come up with Darryl Russell or the Raiders. But they're two pretty good pitchers. Towers, a control pitcher, pitched a great game here earlier in the year and beat the Athletics. The A's got to him last week in Baltimore as they beat Josh Towers. But he's a rookie. He keeps the ball around the plate, and certainly he is hittable, as the Athletics showed last week. Seven innings and nine hits, four runs. Didn't walk anybody and struck out five. 92 pitches. He generally throws anywhere between 85 to 95 pitches. And with a young man like this, being a control pitcher, you just have to wait him out. And that's what the Athletics did this week. So, big game coming up tonight. It's just one more step closer to the end of September. You know, one more good week of baseball for the A's, I think, will be very significant in having him wrap this thing up. You don't want to go into a long losing streak, a six or seven game losing streak, and the other team's chasing you, win six or seven, and all of a sudden things look different. But barring that, this is a team that is playing decent baseball right now. We've got a good show for you tonight. Our guest is a former Athletic and TV analyst right now with ESPN-TV. You see him on Baseball Tonight, on SportsCenter. He was at the Little League World Series a couple of weeks ago seeing Danny Almonte, the alleged 12- to 14-year-old kid, pitch, and that is Tom Candiotti. He's our guest tonight. I saw him this morning at Pac Bell Park, and we chatted a lot about baseball and the different races, and I think you'll enjoy the interview. So we'll be back with Tom Candiotti right here on Right Off the Bat, right after these messages. Marty Lurie here on Right Off the Bat today with our good friend, and that's Tom Candiotti. Candy, you were in Williamsport, Little League World Series, and you got to see the 14-year-old Danny Almonte.
I sure did. He was very impressive, and it's too bad all that stuff unfolded the way it did, but the first time you looked at his motion, and you saw that all of a sudden this kid's recoiling, he's dropping, he's driving, he's getting extension, where most 12-year-olds just kind of rock and kind of throw the ball up to the plate. This kid was well advanced, and so I think I raised a lot of eyebrows at first until someone finally uncovered the story.
Was there any speculation during the tournament there amongst scouts or friends or anyone that this kid may have been older? And if so, why didn't someone do something about it?
Well, we talked to the coach, Alberto Gonzalez, and before in the regional games in Bristol, and there had been some accusations about the Rolando Polino Little League in the past and how they might have fixed birth certificates. And apparently they've answered all those questions and furnished the league with everything they needed to furnish. And that's all that Little League Baseball requires. But the speculation was there that, hey, some of these kids, they don't play like they're 12-year-olds. And some of them physically don't quite look like they're 12-year-olds. So and finally somebody did some probing and came up with the fact that, hey, these guys can alter the birth certificates pretty easily down there. So and that's apparently what happened.
Tom Candiotti, our guest today, and right off the bat, Candy now, of course, working for ESPN on TV, Game of the Week, SportsCenter, Baseball Tonight. Every time we turn around, we see him. What was your experience of being at the Little League World Series? You did work there professionally, but what was it like being around it?
Well, it was really fun. I wasn't sure what to expect when I got there. It was very difficult doing the games at first because you had to make sure you got all the pronunciation of the kids' names correctly, and there's free substitutions there. So kids come out of the game, then they come back in at a different spot. A lot of them, you can't see their numbers. They don't have their names on their backs. So it was a work in progress all game, but it was also funny watching him because every kid that struck out, he would run back to the bench. You know, they couldn't wait to get back out to the field. So the games went extremely fast, and it did bring back a lot of memories when you were a kid, and I know I played for Concord American Little League here, and we were eliminated in the state final by Santa Clara, and a kid by the name of Carney Lansford ended up throwing a shutout to beat us, and his team went on and lost to Taiwan in the final in 1969. So it was fun to go back and see what those fields look like.
This has been a pretty interesting year for you. As I say, all the things we see you on and all of a sudden showing up in Williamsport, you've had fun this year.
It's been a work in progress for sure, Marty. I mean, I didn't think that I would be near this busy. But ESPN, for whatever reason, has given me more work than they said they would give me. It's been fun because it's been a working ground for me. Every time I do a game, every time I do a different event, it's something new and exciting to me. And so there's I'm just a rookie in this profession, but I'm really enjoying it.
Tom Candiotti, our guest then right off the bat. Baseball races all over the country. We just passed Labor Day now. The Mets, all of a sudden the Mets are back in it. The Twins still aren't out of it. Your old team, the Cleveland Indians, hanging on. One pitcher that you recommended, Ryan Dries, had a big start for the Indians last Saturday.
You're right. When I was working for the Indians last winter, I went down to Instructional League and I saw Ryan Dries down there, and I recommended to Mark Shapiro that this is a guy that you need to protect. I saw him. He didn't have too much experience. He's had been baffled with been battling injuries for the last couple of years when he was with the Indians, but coming out of Cal, he's a high prospect, and I saw his arm one day, and I said, this kid's got major league stuff. And so they ended up protecting him, and it was nice to see that he finally got to the big leagues yesterday and got a win under his belt.